Of cashing it all in, every situation is a no-win. I know someone who's there. On him you can cast your burden, to him you can give your care. He's more than a friend, he's a true friend, sticks closer than a brother. Yeah, more than a friend, he's more than a friend, he's been a true friend, and he loves at all times. He's more than a friend. Sometimes I've been discouraged, thoughts of turning back, questioning my destiny, bound up when I should have been free. To the crowd it seemed I made it, inside my heart was breaking, my mountain seemed too high to climb, but you were with me all the time. And I know someone who's always there. On him you can cast your burden, to him you can give your care. More than a friend, he's been a true friend, sticks closer than a brother. Yeah, he's more than a friend, he's more than a friend, he's been a true friend, and he's loved at all times. Yeah, he's more than a friend. How can I repay you for what you've done? I never could. Lord, how could I replace you? I never would, 'cause you're the only one for me. Lord, you're the only one for me. You're the only one, you're the only one. Lord, you've been more than a friend. You've been a true friend. And you're closer than my brother. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're more than a friend. You're more than a friend. You've been a true friend. And you love at all times. When I'm right, when I'm wrong, you love me, Lord. Jesus, you're more, 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 more than a friend. More than a friend, Lord, you have been more than a friend, a true friend, you're closer than my mother, Lord, you're more than a friend to me.
Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Are you very excited? All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, this evening is a very special evening. We Bishop Richard is not here this evening. He's away on church business. That's why he's not here. This is our Proton Convention. Amen. Proton Convention. It is the first convention we are having in the year 2016, and Bishop, being such a good father, has made a very good provision for us. Amen. I think you put your hands together one more time to appreciate Bishop Richard for the provision that he has made possible for us. Amen. I mean, the person I'm about to introduce to you, I mean, honestly and really, he doesn't need any introduction, but for the sake of protocol and formality, I have to introduce him to all of us. Amen. You know, we are very, very blessed to have him. We are very, very blessed to have him. Last week, I had a privilege of preaching here, and one of the things I said was, you know, some people are a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy. When they come into your life, you see a lot of merciful things. Yeah. And the person I'm about to introduce to you is indeed a vessel of mercy to many of us, especially those of us who came around the early days. The early days, you know, he's a vessel of mercy. When we met him in those days, you know, he transformed us by the grace of God. You know, he spoke into our lives and transformation came. And I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity to introduce him. In 1995, I actually got married in his living room. Yeah. 1995. Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, I was a fine boy those days, you know. Yeah. 1995, yes. Yeah, I got married, you know, when as soon as my beloved arrived, they said, he and Bishop Bridges said, oh yeah, now, quickly. Straight into his living room, and then Bishop Ishmael blessed us that evening. And then, you know, other things could happen by the grace of God. I told you, he's a vessel of mercy. Yeah, and then when the time came for me to sign my marriage register, I mean, he literally frog-marched me to the registry office. Said, Stephen, your bad days are over. Yeah, I remember him borrowing Bishop Rich's car. It was a white Vauxhall car. Apostle Joe, I don't know whether you remember those days, but he borrowed a car and he drove us. And one of the pictures, you see him standing over my shoulder. He said, boy, you have to sign this marriage register. Yeah, you have to sign this marriage register. And that is the measure of the love that this man has for God's flock. Amen. You know, he's a consummate pastor. He's a loving pastor. He's a powerful preacher. You know, when he preaches. Oh, man. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, us having 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. But this is one of the few people on this earth that I can call a spiritual father to me. Hallelujah. I am blessed. Not only these accolades, but also he's our bishop in charge of the American churches, North American churches. Yeah. North American churches, all the churches, he oversees them. And not just that, but he's a best friend to our bishop. He's a best friend to our bishop. So, he's at home. He's at home. And it gives me great pleasure to, you know, introduce this great man of God. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and let us welcome Apostle Joel Obuobisa.
And come we on. Will say, our God is good. His mercy shall endure forever. Oh, what we will say. Lord,
Wow. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord again? Amen. Yeah. It's a real blessing to be here tonight. And I'm grateful to the Lord. Amen. It is good to see all of you. I keep telling Bishop Richard that people who live in London have a special complexion. As the choir was singing, I was looking at the video and I was just thinking, you see, that complexion thing is true. But you all look so fresh and beautiful and handsome, like the people of God should look.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a real blessing. Clap for yourselves and we thank God. Amen. Let us pray before you sit down. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word and hearing it. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in this service tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will guide us into all truth and guide our hearing and learning in the name of Jesus. This is our Proton Convention, Lord. We pray that it will set the pace for how we would walk with you this year. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I bring you greetings from United States, where Donald Trump is trying to be president. He's trying. We don't know yet if we will make him the president, but he's an interesting man. Amen. But I bring you greetings from the church in the States. Amen. And from California, where I live. Amen. And we thank God for such a great and beautiful family in the Lighthouse Chapel. I think that the Lighthouse Chapel is a great church. I think that there are many great churches, but certainly Lighthouse is one of the great churches, one of the greatest churches. Amen. My life has been so blessed by this church. I came to this church just like many of you did, just a regular person invited one day, and I came to church, and it was the beginning of the discovery of my life. You know, someone can give you a casual invitation to what would become your life. Do you see what I'm saying? So you shouldn't take little invitations like that for granted. And since I stepped foot in the church, my life has changed from one level of glory to the other, and it keeps changing. Amen. And it's all because of the Father that God has blessed us with. God has given us a great Father and Pastor whose words change lives. Amen. And we thank God for his life, and we pray always that God will grant him more grace to live on and to continue to be a blessing to us. Amen. And I thank God for my friend, Bishop Richard. Yes. And I've been sort of back and forth with him trying to figure out why would he invite me here when he's not going to be here. You know, and the way the whole thing has been set up, it's interesting. I told him this morning it's an adventure. Because as my plane was landing, you know, I was texting him as I was landing, and he was texting me. He said he was on a runway taking off. You know, so it's interesting. But he's a good man. He's a good man. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that when God wants to bless you, he puts good people in your life. Because God works through people. God always works through people. And when he wants to visit your life and wants to bless you, he puts someone in your life through whom he can reach you. And since I got to know Bishop Richard, my life, he's like my pastor. And he's also my older brother, and he's also my friend. Do you ever have those moments where you get like a WhatsApp joke and you don't know who is the appropriate person to share it with? Do you have those moments? Yeah, I have those moments all the time. You know. But I thank God he gave this one person that I can share every joke with. And that's a real blessing. That's him. Amen. Yes. So we really miss him, and I think that he has done a great job here in London, and there are even greater things to come because of him. Amen. And his beautiful wife, Lady Pastor Linda. I was just telling, well, since he's not here, I might as well enjoy the food and everything in the house because the man is not here. Amen. Right. But I believe God has given us other great people. Lady Pastor, Sister Philippa Marker is here tonight. Amazing husband. Pastor Daniel. Can you see the complexion? The complexion. A very beautiful couple that loves the Lord. Pastor Daniel has loved the Lord for years. The same, sits at the same place all the time. It's a blessing. God bless you. And Pastor Steve, who's the pastor of the house. You know? Yeah. Pastor Steve told me he had those photos. I didn't believe him. But it's an amazing thing to see always what God has done and how far he has brought people. You know, and Pastor Steve is a very faithful man. I think it's his gift. Yeah, it's a special gift to be there and to be strong and to support and to help. And I'm not surprised that he is the pastor of such a great church here tonight. Yeah. Amen. And then all the other pastors, I can see Pastor Jude, Pastor Edmond, I can see Pastor Kwesi, all the lady pastors, so many of them. If I start to mention everybody's name, I think that it will not finish. It will be a naming convention. But you all know that I love you, and you're great people, and God blessed us by setting us up with each other. Did you know that the Bible says God sets people in families? See, we don't choose our families. God sets the solitary in families. So God has placed us with each other. Amen. You may not have chosen me and I didn't choose you, but I belong to you and you belong to me. And you have a responsibility towards me, and I have a responsibility towards you. Hallelujah. Just like your brother. You know, your brother is someone you don't choose. You don't choose anything about your brother, including his bad habits. You know, and sometimes when you have to share a room with a brother who has bad habits, he leaves his clothes around, brings glasses and cups from the kitchen upstairs, and leaves them there, and you have to collect them and bring them downstairs, and so on. But that's your brother. That's who God gave you. That's one person who can walk up to you any day and ask you for anything. That's how it is in the house of God. Amen. So we belong to each other, and we must love and cherish one another until the end. Amen. Right. So tonight I want to share with you the Word of God. I want to share with you from the Bible. This is our Proton Convention. Is our first convention. Proton means first, isn't it? First in order, first in rank. It's the first one, and is usually one of the most important conventions. Amen. Because what you do first determines what you do or how you do the rest. It influences the rest. Amen. So we're having a very important convention. Now, this year, Bishop named it the Year of Loving God. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has directed and given us that vision to work on loving Him. Do you understand? It's not that other things are not important, but God has given us this year the key thing that drives everything that has to do with God. And the thing that we all must work on this year is to work on loving God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him. See, somebody came to Jesus. Somebody came to Jesus and asked Jesus a question. You know, Matthew chapter 22 and verse, let's start from 36. It says someone came to Jesus and asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he said, the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. It says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, when it says hang, I think of a hanger. So you think of a hanger and think of your jacket or your shirt or your clothes hanging off the hanger, and it's on there. And it says, these two commandments, the commandment to love the Lord and the commandment to love your neighbor, is like the hanger that keeps your clothes in shape. Do you see how if you don't have a hanger, if you don't have a hanger, you don't quite see the shape of this thing. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't quite see exactly what this is. But when you have a hanger, the hanger kind of pulls it out and makes it look a bit like this. what it really is. So what it means then is that without loving God, your Christian life actually looks quite shapeless. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That if you don't have this one in place, Jesus, the person came to Jesus and said, you know, because when you're in the Lord, you come to find over a period of time that there are many important things to do. When you come to church, you see that there are important things to do. Every announcement the pastor makes, he makes it like it's the most important thing to do. Isn't it? And when the pastor sits down, the next person who comes to talk about anything, let's say announcements, and they say that join the choir or join a ministry, something like that. Whoever is talking about joining a ministry will talk about joining the ministry as though, I mean, if you don't join a ministry, I mean, you're off. Do you see what I'm saying? Then the same person may even make the next announcement about Saturday's prayer retreat. And you make Saturday's prayer retreat announcement as though if you don't come to this Saturday's prayer retreat, then you are really off. Do you see? Yeah. So everything is giving a certain level of importance. And I can imagine that this fellow who was talking to Jesus Christ, having heard so many things, so at a point he was trying to, you know, can we get a summary of this whole thing? Can you break it down and boil it down to the most important thing? What is the one thing that we just have to do so that if we don't do the others so well, at least we're getting the main thing right? Jesus said, to love God is the thing. He said, to love God is the main commandment, and then the second one is to love your neighbor. Then he says, on these two things hang the whole law. The whole law, everything God expects of you is actually dripping off this. It flows from this. So the foundation of your Christian life is actually the love you have for God. And having been a pastor for some time, I realized that when people don't get this right, their Christian lives are weak and sickly all the time. They struggle. One of the reasons why people struggle with the Christian life is because the fundamental thing is not there. You see what I'm saying? They join the church. They join something. They come because their family is coming. They come because their friend invited them. But a lot of people do not make that connection. Do you see? They don't make that connection with God, where you are in love with God. You love God. God, it's about Him. It's not about joining the church. It's not about joining the ministry. It's not about using your talent, you know, because you can do all these things without loving God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can do all these things without loving God. You can keep going up and down, and you look like, and often the presumption is because you're going up and down, you must love God. But sometimes it's not that you love God, but that you love what you do for God. Do you see? There are many people who just love singing. I mean, they would sing any song because they love singing. And the church gives them an opportunity to sing. So they come to church and they continue to sing. But it has nothing to do with loving God. It's just that I love singing. And church gives me the opportunity to sing. And so I sing. There are people who play instruments And it's not coming out of loving God. It's coming out of loving the instrument. You love the instrument you play. You play, even when they say stop, you don't, you know, you always try to get some last two notes in there somewhere, because I just can't get enough of this thing. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. But Jesus said these are the two great things that everyone has to do. Hallelujah. And so tonight I want to share with you about loving God. In fact, I was just thinking, what should I call my message tonight? And I was just thinking, a good title is, If We Love the Lord. If We Love the Lord. If We Love the Lord. Loving God, you see, the Bible says that God is someone we don't see. Isn't it? It says God is someone we don't see. In fact, one of the things, one of the tests of love in the Bible, he says that if someone says he loves God and does not love his neighbor, he's a liar. Do you understand? If someone says he loves God and does not love his neighbor, he's a liar. And then he explains why he says that. He said, how can you love God whom you cannot see when you can't love your neighbor whom you can see? Do you see? So in other words, loving God is a higher one. That if you can't do the lower one, it's not likely that you can do the higher one. When you love somebody, at least there's a response that makes you know that you're doing the right thing. When people are loved and they feel loved, they respond positively. So you know that you're doing the right thing. But when you're loving God, you can't see him. How do you even know that you are doing the right thing? Do you see? So loving God it has to be expressed in the things we do. There has to be a way of showing that we love God. Hallelujah. And the best way to show that you love God is to show it in his terms, to show it in the way that he has prescribed. You see what I'm saying? Love is something, it's not something you say, it's something you demonstrate. It's love is a doing word. You have to do something to show that you love someone. A long time ago, you know, there used to be a song said, if you say you love somebody, you've got to let him know about it. Yeah. Somebody is singing that song. It's not a worship song. I think it was by a group called, is it Kool and the Gang? Yeah? Yeah. Some people are remembering some days. Pastor Richard. Amen. Yeah. But love is expressed. So God has shown us, God has given us a number of things in the Bible that he says, if you love me, this is what you do. Do you understand? Now, there's one of them in John chapter 14 that we can look at tonight. John chapter 14 and verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Can you see that? Yeah. It says, he that hath my commandments. He that hath my commandments. So the starting point is to have the commandments. Isn't it? Starting point is to have a Bible. Starting point is to have books, to have messages, to have tapes, to have, you know, these days we don't use tapes, but to have messages, isn't it? Books and so on. Now it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Keepeth them doesn't mean that they put their iPad in a case. You see, as in preserving it. Keepeth them means live by it. Do you understand? You keep the commandment means you live by it. Says the person who has my commandments and lives by them, he it is that loveth me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The person who has my commandments and lives by them, he it is that loveth me. When you love somebody, it's not determined by what you say you are doing. It is the person who is being loved who must verify and validate to us that some love is going on. Isn't that the case? Yeah. Have you not met someone who says, I love you, and you don't feel loved? Yeah. They say they love you, but you don't feel any love. You don't feel the love. I mean, the love is not in a language you can interpret. Huh? It's you're not feeling it. But they say they love you. Hey, I even know someone who was beating somebody and then says, you see, I love you, I love you. He's beating up the person, says, you know, I'm doing this because I love you. Amen. So it is in the language of the person. It is the person who is being loved who must say that I'm being loved. Do you understand? So that is why God says, in fact, Jesus is the one speaking here, and he says, look, a lot of people may claim that they love me, but I am telling you what makes me feel that love is headed this way. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is, not the other guy, but the one who has the commandments and lives by them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. So one of the things a person who loves God will do is to live by the word of God. Hallelujah. To live by the word of God. This year we're going to live by the word of God. Hallelujah. To live by the word of God. If we live by the word of God, we are actually walking in love with the Lord. Amen. So then that brings me to a verse in the book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Amen. Are you coming along with me too? The book of Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, this is one of my favorite persons in the Bible. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, the word eschew means to deliberately stay away from evil. Can you see that? Now, does that sound like someone who loves God? Does that sound like someone who... Because it doesn't say that Job loved... It says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, if it was evil, he would not mess with it. Do you understand? If it was evil, he would not touch it. If it looked like a bad thing, he would stay away from it. And he says he did it deliberately. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this man says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. Amen. So here is somebody who seems to love God. And right there, you can begin to see the effect of loving God on him and showing up in his life. The Bible says, to start with, there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. It looks like the man is really blessed, isn't it? Yeah, the man is really blessed. Because loving God produces that type of thing in your life. Hallelujah. As you love God, God is going to bless you. Amen. This year, as we love God, God is going to bless us. And we are going to see his blessing in our lives as we make a choice to love him. Hallelujah. But you can see that it doesn't just happen. It says the man feared God and he eschewed evil. He eschewed evil. That word sounds like kissing your teeth, you know. Evil. Can you see that? 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses. This word has been in the news lately. And a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of all of the East. Hallelujah. Amen. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. Hallelujah. Amen. As you love God, you're going to be great. Amen. God will make you great because you love him. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat. Sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So again, you can see that Job is now making sacrifices for his children because he loves God and he feels that his children may be just. I mean, Job was somebody who did not like to mess with sin at all. And the point I'm making tonight is very simple, that if we love God, then one of the things we're going to do will be to live by his commandments, which often involves staying away from sin. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That if we love God, we are going to stay away from sin. Now look at Job. Job is making sacrifices even for his children. And his reason, the reason why he's making sacrifice, he says, it may just be that my sons have sinned. It just might be that my sons have messed up. It just might be that there's some sin somewhere coming around in my house, and I don't want any of that here, because if we love God, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I want to keep that out of my life. And so that's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. These days, it's very common to find people who profess to love God, but who do all sorts of things. Yeah, people who love or claim to love God, who are on drugs. People who say they go to church, they even sell drugs. You know, people who buy drugs, church members who buy drugs, and they are not sick. Yeah. These days, you see a lot of church members, a lot of Christians. Fornication is an old word now. A lot of fornicants in church. If the noun is what? Fornication? What is that? The verb is to fornicate. The noun must, or the person who does it, must be the fornicant. Hallelujah. We have people in church who smoke all kinds of things. Anything that can light up. Sometimes people come to church and you can smell it on them. It is not that God hates such people. It's the right thing, even if you have that problem, it's the right thing to come to church. The right thing to do is to come to church. But I'm talking about a heart that is not turned against it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because Job said, no, I don't live like that. I don't do that anymore. Hallelujah. And you can see from the scriptures the effect of that. As people love God, you know, says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Can you see that? Well, there, let me just say this while we're on that verse. I mean, if Satan knows to go to the presence of God when the time comes for people, God's children, to gather, then you must at least beat that. What do you think? You must at least tell your neighbor, you must at least do better than this. Show the verse to your neighbor and say, I'm expecting you to do better than this one. Yeah? Pastor Sisi, what do you think? I mean, if Satan, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan woke up, looked at his time. It's time for the sons of God to go. I can't miss it. Yeah. You can do better than that. But there are some sons of God, Satan even goes to the presence of God and they are home. And I mean, Satan is surprised. It's like, I mean, did you not know that there's a service today? Even I am coming from the service. You know, And between you and I, they say, I'm the bad one. Now look at you. I tell you, I'm going to do better than this. Amen. A day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, can you see that? Let me just fix my iPad. The Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Hey! From going to and fro and then up and down. So he goes like that and comes this way. Then he goes this way and comes this way. I mean, going to and fro throughout the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Can you see? Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? This is God saying this about Job. Hallelujah. Listen, as you love God, you're going to get his attention. You're going to get God's attention. Hallelujah. He said, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? In other words, Satan said that, you know, when people make such sacrifices, when people choose to love you, it's not for nothing. Do you understand? In other words, they don't do it for nothing. It is not a useless venture. That's what he's saying. Then the devil starts to read God a list of benefits. Can you see that? He starts to read to God. He says, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. This list, this is not a promise God is making to Job. This is not a promise God says, if you serve me, I'll do this for you. No. This is the devil who has come to God, reading him a list of things that have come to Job since Job started serving him. Now, when it comes from the other side, you better believe it. You see, when the thief is talking about what stopped him from breaking in, you have to believe him. do you understand? Yeah. Once I saw a talk show on TV where they were talking about someone who was calling himself a career thief. Yeah. I mean, he said that he had been stealing for a living for a long time. And so they had brought him, and he was talking on the talk show. He was showing people how to protect their homes from, you know, break-ins. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, who would you rather listen to? A police officer showing you how to protect your home, or the thief showing you how to keep him out? You'd rather listen to the thief. Yeah. So that show was very popular. Yeah. The thief sat on the TV and he was telling people how to keep me out of your house. What is going to stop me? And the thief was saying, he was giving all the signs. He was saying, for example, that when we come around your neighborhood and we see that it's not garbage collection day, but your garbage cans are outside, it's a sign that you're out of town. Do you see what he's saying? Yeah. Let's say they pick up the garbage in the neighborhood on Mondays. Now he comes around on Monday evening or even Tuesday, and your garbage cans are still outside. He says it's a message to him that you are not in town. You have to try it. Yeah. So the interviewer asked the thief. So how many homes have you broken into? And then the guy pauses and says, "Well, over the course of my career." I mean, that's a real pro. It's a professional thief. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that tonight we have a professional destroyer telling us how to avoid him. And he is showing us what comes to people when they love God and they live by his commandments. Can you understand it? Yeah. And I'm saying that this is not a list. This is not God. This is not God saying, if you come and serve me or if you love me, I'll build a hedge around you. No. There's the devil who said that, listen, since Job has been serving you, it's not been profitless. He says that a lot of great things have come to Job since he started serving you. Are you getting it? He said a lot of good things have happened to Job since you said. Do you notice how God, when he told God, God said, "Where have you been?" And then he says, "I've been going throughout the earth. I've been going to and fro and up and down in it." Do you see? That means I've gone everywhere. So God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Do you notice how he doesn't ask who is Job? Huh? He's checked him out already. Do you understand? So the list he's reading is authentic. It's real. What he's saying is what he saw. It's not guesswork. He's saying that Job serving you is not useless at all. It's not useless. Says loving God has really paid off for Job. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. He said loving God. Then he said number one, the first thing I saw around Job is that loving you has built a hedge around him. How did the devil know there was a hedge around Job? He must have been there. He must have tried to touch something. And so he was telling God what stopped him. Said, "What the reason why I have not been successful with this guy is because loving you has built a hedge around him." Yeah. Hallelujah. Loving you has built a hedge around him. Now, what is a hedge? What is a hedge? And why do people put hedges? A hedge is a fence and it's also a boundary, isn't it? Does somebody have a dictionary? Can you just check the meaning of a hedge? A hedge, just a hedge. Please, hedge. What is a hedge?
A hedge is a row of bushes or small trees planted close together, forming a fence, a boundary. And then any barrier or boundary, a hedge of stone.
Just one of them will do.
Any barrier or boundary.
This first one.
It's a row of bushes.
A row of bushes.
Or small trees.
Or small trees.
Planted close together.
Planted close together.
Forming a fence.
Forming a fence.
And a boundary.
And a boundary. Wow. Right. So he's saying that a hedge is something that forms a fence, isn't it? And it is also something that forms a boundary, isn't it? A boundary often defines limits. That means you can't go beyond this. And then a fence also keeps off. So actually the same thing, depending on which side of it you are standing, is a boundary or a fence. If you're on the inside, it's a boundary for you. You can't go out. And then if you're on the outside, it's a fence to keep you out. Now, Job is saying, not Job, the devil, Satan said, loving God has created boundaries for Job and has also built a fence for him. Can you understand that? Yeah. He said, loving God, just loving God, keeping his commandments, have actually created a boundary. So a lot of things that maybe he could have done that would have gotten him into some type of trouble. You see, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, he that breaks a hedge, the serpent will bite him. Do you understand? Which means it is the breaking of the hedge or crossing of boundaries that actually gives the serpent a chance over us. Are you understanding my message tonight? Yeah. And he says, loving God creates boundaries for us. So you see, rather, a lot of things that seem like they are restrictions as you are serving God are actually boundaries that God has created for you just to bless you. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? Yeah. When you are in the Lord, God gives you a number of things that become a boundary for you. Yeah. And when it's a boundary for you, it is also a fence to the enemy. Do you see what I'm saying? So if God says, for example, if God says that we should not commit fornication, I mean, some people feel that if God says don't commit fornication, it means that some very nice thing that God is trying to take away from you. Do you see? But what you don't understand is somebody's been walking to and fro, going up and down, and the only thing that is keeping him is this fence. Do you understand? Which is your boundary. Do you get it? I mean, there's a verse. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. Oh no, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. It says, flee fornication. Can you see that? Huh? It says, flee fornication. Then he explains. He said, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Do you see? But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own. Now pretend you don't even understand sinneth. Pretend you don't understand. He says fornication is against your body. If something is against you, it means it's not on the same side of as you. Isn't it? It means that it's not on the side of the body. It means it is actually contrary to the body. It means you are against your body. It means you are passing your body through something that your body was not designed for. And by all means, it will hurt you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can see how the devil said, it is because of that boundary, that's why I didn't get him. Says that he would live, he that loveth me, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. The keeping of his commandments moves you into loving him. And loving him creates a boundary for you that becomes your protection. That is how come you don't get to destroy yourself. And the enemy has been going up and down, up and down. I mean, trying. In the end, he had to go to church to see if something will work for him. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Yeah. He said you have built a hedge around him. You've built a hedge around him. Then he said the next benefit that this man is getting from loving you is that you have built a hedge around his family. Yeah. He said his family is also protected. That loving you has put a protection around his family. I've come to see that it's not an accident that you get godly children. Do you understand? Sometimes the texture of the atmosphere at home. Do you see? Because home is where we make children. That's where we raise children. You see, what children become is largely a function of what the home is like. Isn't it? Yeah. And when children are raised in a home where there's godliness, where there's prayer, where there's speaking of the word, where there's worship, there's Christian music, you know, that the texture of that atmosphere has a long-term effect on those children. Yeah. It's true. It's true. The reason why some of us fell prey to certain things was because there was no God or godliness in our homes. Is it not true? It's more like you went to introduce prayer into your house. Nobody prayed in your house. Nobody went to church in your house. And because nobody prayed and nobody went to church in your house, a certain protection, you see, a certain hedge, which Satan is the one talking about. He's telling us that what protects family is that same hedge. And when it's not there, I tell you, a lot of things happen in the families. A lot of things happen in the homes. A lot of things happen to the young people because that hedge is not there. Hallelujah. But as you love God this year, that hedge is going to come upon you in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding the word of God tonight? Then he said also what? What else did he say? He said you have blessed also what? You have put a hedge about his house and about everything he has on every side. Says you have protected his investments. You have protected his properties. You have protected everything he has on every side. Even his relationship. Do you understand? Yeah, even his relationship. You have protected it. His beloved that he got. You have protected the relationship. You have preserved it on every side. Everything he has on every side is covered because of the love he has for God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. It is no wonder Bishop was teaching us about, he said, all things work together for good. Because there's protection on every side. So it doesn't really seem to matter what really happens. There is a power that is released to go to work on your behalf when you love God. That it does not seem to matter what really happens. There is protection on every side. And in the end, you still come out good. Hallelujah. Then he says, you have blessed the work of his hands. Oh, yes. This is one blessing you need. That God will bless what you do. God will bless the work of your hands. God will bless the work of your hands. If God does not bless the work of your hands, it becomes useless work. Work without blessing does not bring riches. The Bible says it is the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Isn't it? Yeah. Not a certain education, but rather the blessing of the Lord is what makes people rich. And the blessing of the Lord, the devil says that as Job has loved God, he says that one of the things that has happened to him is the blessing of the Lord has come upon him. So everything he does is blessed. Hallelujah. That will be your story this year as you love the Lord. That will be your story. Yeah. That whatever you do, whatever your hands will touch to do, will be blessed. Hallelujah. Whatever your hands touch to do, will be blessed. Whatever you find yourself doing, God's blessing will come upon it. Yeah. So you need to do something. Hallelujah. You need to do something because God will bless it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Then he said his substance is also increased. Now you see, prosperity is starting to come. I was wondering why the Bible took time to list the numbers of the things that Job had. Do you understand? Yeah. Has so many this, so many that, so many this. It's a message to us about increase. It's a message to us about somebody doing well and flourishing. And God wants you to flourish. And you will flourish as you turn your attention towards God and you decide to love God this year. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, I'm talking about a very personal commitment to loving God. Taking things beyond the routines, beyond what is required of you, beyond what the demands of the group you have joined in the church. Do you understand? Taking things to a level where you actually connect with God with your heart. And you say, Lord, I really do love you. Hallelujah. He says, well, he will build a hedge around you. We all need the hedge. We all need the hedge. We all need the protection that comes from the controls that we have. Yeah, even in the church, the things that our pastors make us do. Because according to Psalm 23, lying in green pastures is a function of what your pastor makes you do. Isn't it? It says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. So if you can't be made to do something, it means you're not in a good place. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. It means you're not in a good place. And so he said, he says, he leadeth me beside still waters. I mean, one of the interesting things about Psalm 23, look at Psalm 23 again. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Then, I think the next verse says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, when look at that verse, you see that a lot of good things are happening. And all the good things that are happening are because somebody is making me do something. Isn't it? Yeah. It means someone is controlling. Someone is making me do something. The boundaries that have been created for me are making me experience good things. Do you get it? And we hear about good things until verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. When the bad things start to happen, look at who is in charge. Can you see that? Do you see that the good things are happening? When all the good things are happening, he maketh me, right? When I take over and I start to do my own thing, then look at it. It says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Huh? Yeah. Now, shadows have come. A shadow is something that looks like the real thing, but it's not. Like when you found your boyfriend and you thought you got a real guy and then you realized that it was a monster. That's a shadow. Do you understand? Yeah. It has the shape of the thing, but it's not the thing. Do you get it? So this is the first time we are seeing shadows. We are seeing death. There's fear. There's evil. Do you understand? All these things are not in the earlier part of the verse. Go back to the earlier part of the passage again. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I shall not want. Can you see? Then the next one, he maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside still waters. And the next one, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. So these controls that God has provided for you actually are the way to your blessing. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. So a lot of good things. That's why the devil said, listen, I didn't get the guy, and I'll tell you why. Number one, you put a hedge around him. Number two, you put a hedge around his family. Number three, you put a hedge around everything he has on his side. Number four, anything he touched, you blessed. Number five, you cause the substance to increase. Lord, I don't stand a chance. That's why I'm in church. When he couldn't get a breakthrough out there, he decided, I'm going to church. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you tonight to decide to love God. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Whatever he says to you, do it. Cultivate a habit of living by the word. If it's in the Bible, live by it. If you heard it in a message, live by it. Try to practice it. Try to walk in the word. Try to, because he that hath my commandments. See, loving God is not some feeling. It's not some feeling. It's just action. It's steps you take. Do you understand? Yeah. Loving God is not some feeling. I mean, even beloveds, when we start, it's like we love them. It's a feeling thing. But later on, as the thing goes on, you realize that, no, this feeling, it cannot. We cannot be living by feelings like that. Yeah. 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 So when you have a beloved and something goes wrong and you see, you say, we're going out on a date tonight, we want to go watch a movie, then he says he's not going to watch the movie because he has to go to work. Then you cry a little bit. You don't love me. Then he changes his mind. Okay, I'm coming. Yeah. But after a while, when you marry the person, and it's like... This is not even a movie. You say, help me do the dishes. And he says, you know something? I can't be doing this. I'm off. Even you know that the crying will not work at this point. Real love is not feelings. It's action. Do you understand? It's action. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Just the last verse before we take a break. We'll come back tomorrow. Don't worry. We'll come back tomorrow. But just 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4. Now, this is the chapter about love. Isn't it? This is the only chapter in the Bible that starts from the top to the bottom just talking about love. Do you see? Now, look at it. He says, first of all, he says, you know, all the things you are not when you don't have love. Then after that, he goes to verse 4 and starts to talk about what love is. Then he says, love suffereth long and is kind. Yeah? Love does not envy. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. It looks like a lot of discipline. It doesn't look like the let's go watch a movie type of feeling. Can you not see that this person who is trying to love is restraining themselves, you know, is putting and exerting pressure on themselves not to do certain things? And that's what the Bible is calling love. That's why I'm saying that if you think that loving God is just going like some feeling, overwhelming feeling, is just going to come over you and you just be floating, that's not how it is. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, whether he has feelings or not." So take it out of the feeling realm and start living it and start acting it. Hallelujah. When you read your Bible every day, pick a verse, try to pick something that you're going to practice today. Today I'm going to live by this. You see, if you read a verse, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," say, "Today I'm going to put God first. I'm going to try practically to put God first today." Hallelujah. We are talking about the year. This is how the year is going. We are loving God. We say, "I'm going to do this." If you read the Bible, it says, "Not neglecting the habit of meeting together." Ask yourself, where and when is the next meeting? I am deliberately choosing not to neglect that meeting. I am attending that meeting. Now you are loving God. That's loving God. Yeah. If you get to have some feeling with that, fine. But it's not about feelings. It's not about this person. Where's that verse? The other one. Chapter 13, verse 4. This person that is loving here, I don't see any feelings here. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. See, the person is suffering. This is it. And for a long time. Do you think that when a man says to a woman, "I love you," what he's saying is, "I want to suffer long with you"? Do you think that's what he's saying? No, usually that's not what we are saying at all. But that's what we ought to be saying. We're going to love God this year. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just closing. Just bow your heads with me, everybody. And I want you to pray tonight. It's something we're working on. I know we've been talking about this right from the beginning of the year, starting from the watch night service, and we've been going on and on about loving God. But it is really that important. That is why we can't stop talking about it. Jesus said, everything hangs on that. Without it, your Christian life is out of shape. It's amorphous. It has no definite definition if there is no love for God in it. I want you to lift up your hand and just pray to the Lord God and say, "Lord, I just want you to fill my heart with love for you. Because I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just have your personal time with Him. Just have a time, just you and God. Say, Lord, I want to find you wherever you are. I want to find you. Give me your commandments. I want to live by them. I want to live by your word. I want to walk in love. I don't just want to say it, but I want to do it. I don't even need a feeling, Lord. I don't need a feeling. I don't need a feeling. If you give me a feeling, that's fine. But I don't need any feeling. I just need to do it. I just need to do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. But invariably you find that as you begin to enter real love with God, a feeling comes. You can't help but fall in love with Him. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Just set aside the cares of this world, fall in love with you. I'll just set aside the cares of this world, falling in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world and fall in love. Sing it again. Lord, I want to love you more.
Lord, I want to love you more
than I ever have before.
Than I ever have before.
You're so easy to adore.
You're so easy to adore.
Lord, I want to love you more.
Lord, I want to love you more.
Lord,
than I ever have.
You're so easy to adore.
You're so easy to adore.
Lord, I want to love you more.
Lord, I want to love
just
you
begin to pray for his love to fill your heart.
Tonight, and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to begin this love walk with Jesus. I want to give my life to him. It starts with Jesus forgiving your sins and becoming Lord over your life. That's when you get the chance to take his commandments and to follow them. It begins with Jesus becoming the Lord of your life. So if you're here tonight, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or you have given your life to Jesus Christ before, but you know you've not been serious, tonight is the night to fix that. There is no reason why you must leave this place without fixing that. And God wants to help you. Just raise up your right hand quietly while every eye is closed. Let's do this quickly before we close. Just raise up your right hand. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight. Just raise it up. I see a hand at the back. Just keep it up. Keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. You know, do me a favor. If your hand is up, why don't you make your way to me here? Just come to me right here so I can pray with you. If your hand is up and you are serious about it, just come. Just come very quickly. I just want to pray with you. Just come all the way. Just help them to come.
I surrender.
Just stand in front of me right here. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Want to give your life to Jesus tonight? You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? Is there anybody else? Just come, come, come. Clap for them as they come. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I bring my life to you, acknowledging that I'm a sinner, and you died to take away my sins. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to live for you because you died for my sins. You gave your life for me. And I want to give my life back to you. Forgive my sins, Lord, and be Lord over my life. Thank you, Jesus. Say, devil, I will not serve you. You are not my master. You have nothing good to offer me. You are the thief. who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's your plan for my life. But Jesus came that I can have life. I choose Jesus tonight. I will not follow you, devil. I choose Jesus tonight. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me. Amen. Father, thank you for these ones who have come to you. The Bible says you will in no wise cast out those who come to you. I pray, Lord, that you will touch their lives. Touch him, Lord, and touch him, Lord. Touch her, Lord, and touch her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May their lives never again be the same. We declare that these are sealed into your kingdom for good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless. What's your name?
Aaron.
God bless you. What's your name? Shane. God bless you, Shane. Deborah. God bless you. What's your name? Linda. That's a beautiful name. God bless you. Right. I think there's somebody who wants to talk to you for just 2 minutes before you go back to your seats. Okay, so follow that gentleman over there. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, please sit down for just a minute. We are closing the service right now. We have to close in exactly 5 minutes. Okay, so we want to take an offering. Just take out your offering. Take out a good offering. Take out a good offering tonight. Tonight is the first night. Amen. And tomorrow we are coming back, and then we'll be back the next day also. Ask your neighbor, are you going to beat the devil's record? When the children of God assemble,